Good morning, everybody, and welcome to First Baptist Church, Savannah, Georgia, on this Transfiguration Sunday. It is good to see all of your faces here and to feel your presence here as well. As always, we've got some guests from out of town. I already said hello to some of them, and if you are one of those guests, please feel free to linger a little bit after the service and let folks say hey to you. There's probably some people who know people you know from wherever you are at. If you are from Savannah and this is your first time here and you are looking for a place to call home, this is a good place to call home. And so may you enjoy this hour with us. And as always, for those of you who we see every single week, it's good to see you here again today. So will you join together as we worship this morning? Sing to the Lord a new song. As God spoke, calling light out of darkness.
God's glory shines in the face of Jesus Christ.
Let us worship God.
Please join me in prayer. Almighty God, our Father, we come as sheep of your pasture, looking to find your leadership in a tumultuous world. O Lord, give us the word we need today that encourages, lifts up, strengthens, and guides. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Join me as we affirm our faith together. We believe in God, infinite in wisdom, power, and love, whose mercy is over all God's works, and whose will is ever directed to the good of all people. We believe in Jesus Christ, the gift of God's unfailing grace, the ground of our hope, and the promise of our deliverance from sin and death. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the divine presence in our lives, through which we constantly know the truth of Christ and find strength and help in time of need. We believe that this faith should express itself in the service of love, as shown through the example of our Lord, to the end that the kingdom of God may come upon the earth.
Thank you.
there was no one in sight. Mom and Dad came running. That your baby cried. God didn't hear me. Mom, tell me why. Dad hugged Jesus. I hear you. It's true. But crying isn't new. God takes orders from me. But if I don't pray to get my own way, tell me, how do I talk to God? Mom, what should I say? Prayer in a book, or make one up in my head. God welcomes all my prayers. Mom wisely said, God always listens to your thoughts and your words, and even your feelings are felt and are heard. But when I say talking to God about me, but when I stop talking to God about me, what does God do then? Does God just agree? When you're all done praying from your heart, that's when it's time for your listening and your watching and your listening. Do all that you bring to God. He turns love to us. You're forever together, like a hand and a glove. You are God's treasure, and He will always, always be treasured. God loves us as we are. We are all God's family. God helps us remember that God lives in the world through the wide open hearts of every boy, every silly boy, and every silly girl. So prayer is a telling God what to do. It is letting God help you. Remember, that's true. Let's pray again. Teach me to be kind today, the way you were kind to me. Teach me to see my friends today, the way you see me. Teach me to love everyone I meet today, just the way you do.
Our first lesson today is from the 50th Psalm. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes, He does not keep silence. Before Him is a devouring fire, round about Him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare His righteousness, for God Himself is judge. Selah.
Our second lesson comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, but with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. I do not even judge myself. I am not aware of anything against myself, but I am not thereby acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive condemnation for God. I have applied all this to Apollos and myself for your benefit, brothers and sisters, so that you may learn through us the meaning of the saying, nothing beyond what is written, so that none of you will be puffed up in favor of one against another. Here ends the second reading.
Our gospel lesson this morning comes from Luke, the 15th chapter. Verses 1 through 10 cover the two parables, but I'm going to focus this morning just on the first parable, so verses 1 through 7. The text reads, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over the sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent." This is the written word of the Lord. Pray with me. Almighty God, our Father, as we turn to this text, help us to see that we are in it, that it's about us, it's about all of us in this room and everyone else in all of your creation. It's about you, and it's about your love. Guide us as we hear the passage, and help us to apply it to ourselves in ways that are meaningful. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus was a simple man. His message, a simple message. Unlike the ramblings of hundreds of theologians over the centuries who lost generations with their bloated prose seeking more to save each other than the masses, Jesus spoke directly and simply to save the whole world. Jesus was a simple man. His message, a simple message. The parable of the lost sheep contains 100 words. What marvelous economy of language that is. But in those few well-chosen words, Jesus sets forth no fewer than 4 eternal truths for us to discover. 100 words, 4 truths. What a bargain. Let's look at it together and discover what Jesus wants us to find. The parable opens with an assumption on Jesus' part, which reveals something of understanding, his understanding of human nature. That's the first truth. Jesus affirms that all people have the ability to feel compassion, that they have a God-given trait to feel hurt, to know suffering, to long for relief. Compassion is a basic human trait which manifests itself in the ability to internalize someone else's pain, in the primal urge to react to another's sorrow, in the yearning to rescue, in the longing to save. There is within each one of us a drive that moves us past a tearful but useless sentimentality to engage the engine of direct action. Potential energy is converted into kinetic energy. Jesus affirms that all human beings' shared energy is released for labor when the cause is just and the goal is clear. Who among us can hold back a tear when confronted with a dreadful result of a hurricane, for example, in the lives of people in Texas and Louisiana and Puerto Rico and even here? But we stop not with just the emotion. We want to do something. People are prompted to collect money and clothes and food. They join labor parties to clean up debris. They provide food and medical supplies and rebuild homes. In this parable, Jesus asks, "Who among you has a heart so cold that he or she would not go and rescue that which has been lost?" He asked this of sinners and of the righteous, the common person and the Pharisee, the ones who he harshly condemned before. There is within each one of us a heart that responds to the love call of a compassionate God. That's the first truth. The second truth is found in the uniqueness of every individual under the sun. God does not look down from a remote heaven and throw a blanket over all the earth and say simply, "There, you've been saved." Instead, as the parable reveals, the shepherd God knows when a certain one is lost, one from among many, similar in aspect, but a certain one, a valued one, with a face all its own, with a unique personality, with a singular voice and an eye with tears and a heart that beats and a body that's so easily broken. This one from among many, one like many others, yet this one is especially different and especially treasured and especially loved just for herself. Weaknesses, strengths, complexes, and all. This one is worth the risk of leaving all the others so she can be found, so he can be saved. The divine love plays no favorites. The shepherd God doesn't care for just a few and ignore all the others. Every single one is extraordinary. Every single one is a child of God. And every one is worthy of being saved. Yet, we are so easily lost, aren't we? Like the curious toddler whose father warns him repeatedly against pounding his head against the glass door, we too thoughtlessly forget the admonition of our Heavenly Father. Like sheep, we wander. And this is the third truth. Human beings are headstrong. God can tell them, friends can tell them, family can tell them, ministers can tell them, doctors can tell them, psychologists can tell them, teachers can tell them, wives can tell them, husbands can tell them. But no, we have to go our own way, don't we? The Good Shepherd watches his sheep, not because they're stupid, although I had a shepherd friend from Scotland who affirmed that they are. God watches over them because they're willful. The shepherd watches them because he doesn't know what they're going to do next. Head down, the sheep simply moves from one tuft of grass to another. Each one looks good enough to eat. And she wanders, and she eats. Soon, leaving the safety of the pasture, this sheep walks heedlessly through a breach in the fence. When night falls, he discovers that he can't find his way back home. It isn't that we deliberately set out to get lost, to commit the big sin, whatever that may be. It's just that we discover hidden delights in the simplest innocence and reach for more, each a little more tantalizing, a little more satisfying. And our appetite demands just a little more. Suddenly, it seems, nothing is sinful anymore. And we rationalize our behavior because we haven't been hurt. But then, we're found out. There's a surprise audit. One spouse picks up the phone and hears a strange voice. Your mother puts away the laundry and finds your hiding place. Someone comes home sooner than expected. You're caught in a lie. We didn't listen. We forgot the warnings. We were disobedient. We followed one tuft of grass too many, and we can't find our way back. We're lost. Indeed, human beings are headstrong. Yet the very God who gave us the ability to be in his image compassionate, the very God who knows us among the millions of people who have ever lived, not as a cipher, but as a real live human being with hopes and fears and weaknesses and strengths, with unique value, this very God is determined that we shall be saved. And that's the fourth truth. 1 Timothy 2:4 affirms that God wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is found in the saving grace of Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, we find the astounding story of a God who creates and blesses and encourages and enters into the lives of women and men, just as the shepherd enters into the lives of his sheep and leads them to safety. In God's determination to touch the hearts of people, God left the unimaginable splendor of heaven to walk the grubby streets of Palestine to prove his reality to humankind. Just as the physician cannot set a broken arm from across the street, and a lawyer can't plead your case from a phone booth, God doesn't try to save you and me from Satan's grasp without personally entering into our hearts and lives. And he touches us, and he blesses us, and he saves us. Century after century, people everywhere, individuals with real names and real faces, people born of a compassionate spirit, able to commune with their Creator, people who've been made into God's image, but people who have made mistakes because of a headstrong and willing full spirit, they've been touched by the healing presence of an incarnate God and have been brought safely home. So the question stands before us and before everyone. Have you found yourself wandering from a path that is safe and sure? Have you followed that little tuft of grass, each one a little greener, only to find at nightfall you're lost and can't find your way back? Has life caused you to accept the unacceptable, to laugh at the profane and behave in a manner that you know in your heart of hearts is wrong? And if the Lord were sitting on your shoulder, as indeed His Spirit does, how would you feel? Or in a different sense, have you come to feel that you're just one of a flock, just one of a vast herd, that no one really cares about you, and that you're all alone? In the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner, as the ship was simply sitting, the Ancient Mariner says, "I'm all alone, alone on a wide, wide sea." And sometimes that's the way we feel. We are lost, we can't find our way back, and we're all alone. But in reality, we never are. The same God who fills the whole universe, from the farthest reaches of what I can see to the infinite particles of an atom, that God knows you. He knows you personally. He knows your strengths and your weaknesses, your appetites. He knows your ambition and your failure. He knows what you need, and He loves you, He loves you, He loves you so very deeply and so very surely. That God manifests itself as Jesus Himself, and He was a simple man. His message was a simple message. With just 100 words spoken centuries ago, we discovered that God can heal our sorrow, that God can save us from our sin condition, that God can give our lives new meaning, and that God can bring us safely home. God has been deliberately looking for you. How will you answer Him? Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, truly, Lord, it is that you search us, search for us, and search for us, and search for us until we find you. We praise you, Lord, for your resilience, your patience, and your infinite love. Help us to accept you into our hearts, and help us to follow you as indeed the Good Shepherd. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is time for prayer. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord, be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Psalm 27. Silently let us pray, and then I'll offer a prayer for us all. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. We praise you and give you our most profound expressions of love and adoration. We are surrounded by the evidence of your creative power, the sun that lights the days of your making, the moon that illumines the nights, the incredible chemistry that gives life to our bodies and sustains us through the hours, and the awesome power of intellect, passion, drive, and ingenuity that moves humanity forward from age to age. Immortal, invisible, and wise, truly. Father, your grace patiently bears our feeble efforts to grasp the enormity of your person. So we imagine you smaller than you truly are, and thus are able to approach you. How is it possible that your presence fills the uncharted vastness of outer space, yet still enters the finite heart and brings us to a saving, merciful relationship with you that continues throughout eternity? Amazing grace, truly. So it is in these intimate moments that we bring you our requests for healing where there is hurt, cure where there is illness, peace where there is conflict, and calm where there is turbulence. And together we offer our fervent prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
We are a people who have been rejoiced over. We were lost and now found, and the God of love threw a party for us. So in our joy and gratitude, may we give with gracious hearts a piece of the gifts that God has given us. Pray together. God of endless patience and wisdom, as we have given our offering this morning, we remember that you seek after us as we would seek after valuable coins or a shepherd seeking after a lost sheep. May our giving reflect our knowledge of how important we are to you, but also how we value our relationship with you. More than sharing our money, may we give our whole lives to help others know of your grace and never-failing love. In Christ's name, amen.
No matter who we are, where we came from, what our background and strengths are, or our weaknesses, if we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are saved from that moment to the rest of our lives and on into eternity. I can think of no greater security than knowing that that's the truth, and that is the truth of the gospel. You're invited this morning to make a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never done that, if you've never had that glorious experience of knowing that the Holy Spirit is hovering over you and moving you from where you are to another place, it's also an opportunity to forget the past, some of the weaknesses and failures of the past, even as a Christian, and then to rededicate yourself to following the shepherd who goes out of his way to find you and to bless you. So as we sing this closing hymn, if you have a decision to make that you would like to share with me, or come forward for just a moment of prayer, I'll be glad to receive you in the name of the church. Let us sing.
can be seated for a moment. Again, it was wonderful to have all of you here today. We had some friends visiting from out of town, from Tennessee, a few from Florida, and also folks from here in Savannah. Again, let folks say hello to you as you leave today. Just a few announcements for things that are coming up. Later on this week, our facilities will be used to host the Savannah Book Festival. So if you want to drop in and hear some good folks talk about the books they have read, we will be hosting pieces of that later on this week. Also, Tuesday, Grace and Glory and the Classics both are having some events. I looked at the sign-up list for the Classics. That's going to be like a party. There's plenty of folks coming to that, so that'll be a good time. And of course, this Wednesday is, not only is it Valentine's Day, just a reminder for some of you who might have forgotten about that, it is also Ash Wednesday, and so we will be having our Ash Wednesday service Wednesday night as well. So we'll have dinner and then our Ash Wednesday time together. I can't believe Lent seems very early this year, so it does. It starts on Wednesday. So if you will, stand for our benediction.
Benediction, Latin for good word. What is God's good word to you today? If it's any more than, I love you, I love you, I love you, then you are eternally blessed. May God watch over you and keep you this week and return you to our place again where we can worship together the Lord who loves us and who watches over us as a shepherd guards his sheep. God bless you all.